You are listening to Push to Talk with Magneto Mel.
And Wireless Mike.
And we are joined from the Federal Aviation Administration's CAMI division here by Warren Silberman. And Warren is the head of the medical certification. And welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And what exactly is, first of all, what exactly is your job?
Okay, my job is that I am the designee from the Federal Air Surgeon that's responsible for all medical certification at the FAA.
So when I go in and I get that medical test to get my first student pilot's license or to keep my currency, you're the guy responsible for that.
It comes into our division. The exam has got to be transmitted by your AME electronically, and that and any paperwork and the exam comes into Oklahoma City, right?
I think I've seen your name stamped at the bottom of a couple of medical certificates.
Probably so.
Yeah.
So what are you here to talk about with us today?
Well, I was going to get on my little soapbox and talk about getting the right AME to do your certification, especially if you think you have a medical problem.
Aren't they all the same?
They should be.
They should be, but you're implying they're not. So how do I, let's say I have a minor medical problem.
Even a major medical problem.
Or a major medical problem, but I still want to learn to fly. How can I go about making sure I find the right medical doctor who could help me with this?
Very good question. Okay. Let's say you're a lay person, you don't know a lot about medicine. The first thing I would do is I would go to the internet, and of course you know there's a lot of not good stuff on the internet, but there are some websites that you can go to and find out, you know. First of all, there's plenty of stuff to find out about your condition. So the first thing I would do is find out everything you can about the condition that you have. Then, if you are a pilot, there are several websites you can go to that have pilot information, and one of them is EAA. Of course, I think you have to be a member in order to get to the site, the medical part of it. AOPA site, you do have to be a member to get on and look at their medical stuff, is very good. Their website is excellent. Another one is leftseat.com. Another one is www.aviationmedicine.com. Very good website. Those are probably the best ones, and you need to go there. And of course, I neglect to say the FAA website is actually quite good these days. it wasn't always as good, but it's much better now. And you need to go to the FAA website, and basically you kind of have to drill around and get to the airspace medicine section and look at what we call the guide for aviation medical examiners. The link to it is on the left side of the web page, and then you have to kind of drill around to find, you know, your particular condition. Now, we don't have every medical condition listed in there, but the common ones and the actual requirements that we look for in the condition are listed there, but these other websites have it as well. So you do that, and you go and you find out what we require and even print it off from one of the websites, and you take that to your treating doctor and you tell them, look, this is what the FAA requires for this particular condition. And you get everything. There's a reason why we ask for the stuff that we do. It's not just to, quote, jerk someone around. It's because I need to have a paper trail that we feel comfortable that you are safe to fly. Okay, so hopefully your doctor will listen to you, because that is one other issue. A person's own physician doing exactly what they want when they see what the FAA wants. No, you want to get what the FAA wants, not what your physician thinks they should have, unless your physician is familiar with, you know, aviation medicine, and they say, well, you know, I know that the FAA will want this. That's fine, but most of them are not. Okay, then you need to find the right AME. What's the right AME? The right AME is one who has a rep. You know, you need to talk to other pilots, and you want to find out somebody that has the reputation of going to bat for their airmen. Usually, an AME who's a pilot, that will make a difference.
Now, can you rely on an AME to know everything about your particular condition and how that will translate into the FAA?
Not every AME, but an AME can pick up the phone and either call the region physician or one of us at Oklahoma City, and we will be happy to tell them exactly what we're looking for in a person's condition. So that's...
It probably couldn't hurt you to arm yourself with some knowledge in advance before you
right
go into
on,
that AME.
Exactly. Right.
So...
So let's say I show up in AME, and how do I know, you know, especially for somebody just coming into this, is this AME going to do this the right way or not? Is there any way to know ahead of time?
My experience is that most guys wait to get their medical until they're, you know, close to the time that they solo. So, you know, obviously talking to other people at the FBO, talking to your instructor, because many times your instructor will know who to refer you to. They may even refer you to their own AME. Word of mouth is the best way to do it. You can go to the FAA website, which has a way to search for AMEs, and I think that you can look up the specialty of an AME. And obviously, AMEs who have aerospace medicine, preventive medicine, occupational medicine background normally know, you know, I'm not trying to besmirch somebody who's an ophthalmologist or whatever, because there are ophthalmologists that are pilots that know everything that goes on. It's just that you're a lay person, you're looking for the first time, and I'm kind of telling you what to look for. So I think the best thing is word of mouth.
Now, let's say you go to an AME and you took word of mouth, but this one doesn't necessarily know what's going on with your condition, and you get some information that doesn't quite sound right to you, or you get grounded, what recourse do you have? What can you do about it?
All right, the best thing to do at that point is probably to pick up the phone and either call the regional office or call the Civil Aerospace Medical Institute and talk to one of the customer service folks and say, hey, look, you know, explain what the situation is, and they will help you navigate to get something done. You don't want to go and start getting multiple exams, because that will really mess things up. So you get the exam, let's say the AME defers because for a variety of excuses that they use. I think at that point you either need to write a letter to us and explain things, or you need to better get on the phone, call the regional office, call the Civil Aerospace Medical Institute medical certification, and talk to one of the customer service people and get hooked into the system.
Okay. Now, there's obviously a lot of different conditions and a lot of variations, and you know, we understand that you just want to make sure that everybody's safe, but you also want to do your best to help these people fly.
Correct.
But there's way too many specifics to get into any one thing. You're here today. Are you going to be here on the field?
Yes, I've been here since yesterday lunchtime, and I'll be here until Saturday evening at close of business, and I'm over at the FAA hangar at the Aerospace Medicine booth.
Okay, and even if you weren't here all week long, is there somebody here
from
your office?
The folks from there. I have a doctor from my office that's here all week. And then we have the Great Lakes region kind of runs the show mostly at least for the aerospace medicine part, and they've got like three people from their office here. So there's probably at least three people from aerospace medicine sitting at a booth for the entire time that the show's open.
Now, are there any particular misconceptions that people think, oh, I don't want to go in and disclose this because this is going to keep me from flying, that really they shouldn't be worried about? Because
actually, kind of ironically, I keep hearing this year in and year out, high blood pressure. There are 37,000 plus airmen with high blood pressure on medication. Now, there is just a small handful of medicines that we do not allow, and most of them are not even used anymore. I had someone tell me that they had stopped flying in 1987 yesterday because they had high blood pressure and were scared to try to get their medical because they thought it was disqualifying. It absolutely isn't. We have so many. Basically, the guideline is this: if a person needs to demonstrate that they're safe to fly for the time period that their exam is in effect, that requires a waiver. But because high blood pressure is such a common condition, the federal air surgeon kind of turns the other cheek, and we don't even require a waiver for that. A person, providing they bring the proper information in, which they can find on the website, can be issued by the AME without a waiver.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're kind of running out of time here. And, again, we have lots of questions, but...
Over in the federal, you guys are located?
We're in the FAA Safety Center, right.
And if somebody's not here and they have questions, what's the easiest way to get a hold of your office?
The best way is to call our number, 405-954-4821, and they can talk to one of the customer service people.
And get some of their questions answered directly.
Exactly.
And, if you're not fortunate enough to be here.
Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And once again, you're
Warren Silberman with the FAA.